How are we doing this morning? What an awesome time. Love the set of worship. I don't know if any of you noticed, I love singing our own songs. And there was a song there that Jess wrote. I don't know if in collaboration or just by herself, but it's wonderful singing our own songs and the Lord hearing our voice, not copying other people, but doing what God's called us to do. And again, as Pastor Kevin said, well done to the Sri Lankans and those that are Indian descent who've dressed up for the occasion. Well done. I'm not even going to try and tell you what I'd wear if we did South Africa, but there we go. Or Africa, for that matter. and I love Dom's word. Do you know, all of that helps set the platform for me to be able to preach. And it's not like you have to, well, now, okay, how do I take this? Where do we go with this? But it's a platform has been set. And so well done, guys. So we continue with our series this morning, Victorious and Righteous Living. And week one, we looked at the gift of grace empowers us for victorious and righteous living. And then there's a whole bunch of points there, which I'm not going to mention. And then week two, last week, we looked at the foundations of the person of Jesus, which to help us. And we have to understand that it was a foundation. We did some theology. The apostles and the prophets lay the foundations of which Jesus is the cornerstone. And there is no other cornerstone. It's Jesus and Him alone. And I love the fact that we made much of Jesus this morning. And I trust you do too. And we have to understand that when we lay foundations, we lay good foundations that we can build on that. And it doesn't matter what you build on it, but if we don't have good foundations, it's going to crumble and fall along down somewhere. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, "For if anybody builds on the foundations with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day and will disclose it because it will revealed by fire." And last week, remember, well, if you don't, I'm going to help you again. God's holy fire does not purify the worker, but their workmanship. We've already been purified by Christ. It's the work that we put into it that helps us go along. And when we have right foundations established, then we understand that we can live victorious and righteous. And I love all the words that came this morning. And while we were singing and I was praying just before I get up to preach, I saw this picture of like a veil, and some of you are still living beyond the veil. You haven't got the revelation. The veil has been torn, top to bottom. It's broken. And we can walk out and we can live victorious and righteous living. We can live in victory. We can live righteously because of Jesus. And so this morning I want to talk about another foundation, the transactions of the cross. What happened at the cross? You know, when Jesus became Emmanuel, He came to earth and He brought heaven to earth. And part of what we do every day is bringing heaven to earth, and we live that way. And we understand that as we do that, we live in a good place. And the point of us is that one day we will all get caught up and we'll go up to heaven. It'll be very different. Now, again, just some of the little bit of theology before we move on, because it's good to know what the Bible says about subject and not my clever thoughts. Number one, no other gospel but Jesus Christ crucified. No other gospel but Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We have to understand, we're talking about the transactions of the cross. We understand that there was a cross, there was a price to pay, and Jesus paid it for us. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith," and that's, we always quote that piece. Jesus, the founder and perfecter, creator and perfecter of our faith. But then it goes on and says, "For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." I'm still trying to figure out What joy there was in that. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Yeah, it was Jesus said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go. Despising the shame. And then it says, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He came and he lived amongst us. He brought heaven to you, kingdom now and kingdom later. It's not just waiting for kingdom later. And when he came and he suffered and endured the cross for us, that was probably the joy of knowing that he was doing it for us. And then when that was done, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, the reward for him was high and huge. Galatians, Paul's writing to them, saying to them in chapter 1, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Oh, by the way, it's not in there, but it's sort of like, oh, by the way, not there, there is another gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one who preached to you, let him be accursed. Man, that's strong fighting words. Even if an angel came and preached the contrary gospel to you, and I know many people go around today preaching a contrary gospel. Scripture says, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And you wonder why I take this so seriously. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's one of the big things that most Christians battle with for a huge part of their life is the fear of man. What will someone else say if I declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What would someone say if I asked if I could pray for them? What if would they say if I knocked on my neighbor's door and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? What would they say if I shared the gospel at work, at school, at varsity, college, wherever you are? We need to be more afraid of God in a healthy way than we are of man. Thank you. We have to understand it's not about the law, but the works of the law that we've been given to fulfill. You know, we have to understand the Gentile church, which is largely what the New Testament is about, they didn't actually have law. They had no law. They were Gentiles, like most of us here. Unless, of course, you have a Jewish heritage. We have to understand that we have no law, but the Judaizers who did, and every time Paul went, somebody, this group of people called the Judaizers would go behind him and try and destroy what he was preaching. And they would give them another Old Testament law, and they would say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. You need to do this and whatever it was. When we use our works and add works to our faith, the message that we send or that we live out is that the power of the cross was not enough. The power of the cross is everything. Goes on in chapter 3, we know this so well. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? When Dom stood up this morning and said, you know, do we still live under the baptism of repentance or do we live it by faith now? This is what he was ostensibly saying, that did you receive the Spirit by works of law or by hearing with faith? And then Paul uses strong language. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected it by the flesh? Are we trying to do the fleshly thing and make this thing work? Or are we still relying on the Spirit? You've heard many of us up here say we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And one day this body underneath here lurks, a good body, I think, it will fade away. And my spirit man inside that is being perfected daily will be revealed. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And I love verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. What is Paul saying to the Galatians? I clearly gave you a message. I painted the picture clearly for you. I explained the whole thing to you. And this is how we can live in victory and in righteousness and in through the Spirit and being filled and infilling of the Spirit. And then he comes and he links the present to the past of Father Abraham, the father of righteousness. And we've said it before, the covenant with Abraham was set in place. There was a period of silence for that. 430 years later, the law was added. And in Acts chapter 2, that thing was reactivated again for us. The preaching of the cross and what he did for us, what heavenly spiritual transactions took place. So what are those that we are going to find out today? So today, number two, transactions of the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He became sin so that we could live sinless, sin-free, if you like. And that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his words you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. And that is why our baptism today with these four young people is so critical and so important and so exciting for us to understand that they are dying to self and living to righteousness. It's an outward expression of their love for Jesus Christ. So number one, we were redeemed at the cross, transaction of the cross, we were redeemed. And now I've added, if you see there's the main script I'm going to talk about, and there's a couple of others at the bottom, which I won't go into, but it's just there for us to help us understand it. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now we have to understand redemption by its very nature. These are not just cool words in the Bible. They actually have life and they have meaning and they have for us to step out of that veil that was torn, that we don't stand and look through this veil, that we step into life and to godliness and into living an intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need some come to some fundamental conclusions about being redeemed is that we are redeemed for our sins. And I'm going to say it again, past, present, and future. I know some people get a little bit tied up about that, but we have to understand that all of humanity is redeemed through Jesus Christ. Not just because we believe now, it's just that you have come to a revelation that Jesus Christ died for you and redeemed you. And you have a revelation, so you accept him into your life, you change your heart, you change your thinking the way you think, and you live a life of victory and righteousness and a child of God. Those who don't know that as yet, their sins were still paid for them 2,000 years ago. It's not when they come along and say, okay, I found Jesus. Now we truly know we never find Jesus. And if you haven't made that decision yet, today is a good day to make that decision. It's a completed work. It's not ongoing in the lives of individuals or some future event that is yet to happen. I know sometimes we think, well, it's when I give my life to Jesus, then my sins, no, your sins are already forgiven. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge that. That's a beautiful thing. Because otherwise, it means that Jesus has to die again and again and again and be resurrected again and again and again. And every time you sin, you say, the cross is not enough for me, so Jesus, you need to die again. Are we good with that? There we go. There was a price that was set down to free prisoners, debtors, and slaves. That was what redemption is. We were slaves to sin, Romans 7:14. We were dead in our trespasses, made alive, Ephesians 2:5. We were redeemed from the law, Galatians 3:13. We were redeemed from all uncleanliness, meaning 1 Corinthians 6:9 means we were bought at a price. A price has been paid for your salvation and your life that we experience in Him. Jesus paid it all. We sing that song. Well, if you're as old as I am, we sang that song. Jesus paid it all. He put all on the line in order for us to have it all. Not a piece of redemption, not a part until we clean up our act, but fully, totally redeemed, purchased, and paid for. And when Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished, that's what it meant. And if you could picture with me, you are standing on the slave block in sin, and you are chained, and that's where we make a big deal. My chains fell off. How's it going? My soul was free. I rose and followed thee. Okay, so you know where I come from now. And we're standing on the slave block, and Jesus came and paid the price, and those chains were broken, and we were freed, and we stepped off the slave block into liberty and freedom. Amen, Mark, you're preaching 80% better than I'm receiving this. Hallelujah. Let me just lay hands on myself. It's paid in full. When that was tetelestai, when they were bought and sold, they would take the stamp and stamp it, meaning paid in full. Doesn't have to do it again. Doesn't, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you there was tax on top of that. Jesus paid the full price for the full deal, for the whole package. Who of you, men, you go to the shop and you want to buy a suit, and you pay the full price for the suit, and you get home and they find you, they only gave you the jacket. You go, okay, that's all right. No, you don't. You go back and say, hey, hold on. I paid for a suit, meaning jacket and a pair of pants, slacks. Where are the slacks? I want the full deal. Ladies, if you go shopping for a dress, that's a dress, but the full package deal mostly. Guys, if you didn't know this, I'm going to tell you now. It goes with a pair of shoes and a new handbag, and if you wear hats, it means that too. That's the full deal. We're just going to speak truth here. But now when it comes to Christianity and our lifestyle with Jesus, we get a little bit choosy. Well, praise God for them going through it. Now, well, I got saved and I haven't been baptized. My question would be, why? Don't get embarrassed. Go, man, the next time you do it, I want to fulfill what God says us to do. I want to get baptized. Jesus understands who are all His. When we purchase something, we want the full deal. Jesus says, I paid the full deal from my children. I want the full deal. Some of you are not convinced yet, or you're just really concentrating hard. Well, what did he just say? You know, it's got nothing to do with my sermon. There we go. Bridget's going, oh, what is he going to do now? You know, New Testament living, New Testament church, which is what we are, is difficult because it demands a response from us. There is a demand for us. Well, I thought I was free. Yes, you are free, but you've been purchased. You've been bought at a price. We belong to Jesus, and He wants the full deal from us. It's not just like, well, sorry, it's not on my notes. I just feel prompted to say this stuff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let these words come with kindness. It's not about just coming to church on a Sunday. If we're part of this family, then we're part of this family. It means getting part of, connected in connect groups. It means coming to prayer meetings. It means praying for one another. It means serving one another. Well, I just like to be served. Anyway, let's move on. Number two. It's getting quiet in this room. Should get a little bit Pentecostal in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep saying it until someone responds. Number two, God's wrath against us was appeased. Just let that sink in a little bit. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to make him like his brothers in every respect. Talking about God the Father, talking about Jesus, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He became a man in order that he could be our high priest in God's service to be our propitiation. And some of you are like, yeah, that's a nice word. What does that mean? Well, propitiation means that God's wrath against us and sin has been appeased. To make a satisfactory sacrifice. God hates sin. He doesn't hate people. He hates sin because it damages his people. And that's why even when on the cross Jesus took on all that sin, the Father turned his face for a moment in time, couldn't look upon the sin upon his son. Propitiation, meaning that Jesus paid the price, tetelestai, so that we didn't have to. And then another big word, expiation, which means atonement for sins through the blood. I think Dom did it so perfectly this morning, spoke about the blood of sin, and Kevin talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that paid for it. That, if you like to know big words, is called expiation. So propitiation and expiation are Jesus' way of helping us. Why? Because in Romans 1:18 it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. He is our advocate to the Father in our defense. 1 John 2:2. God does not love us because Christ died for us. Christ died for us because God loves us. 1 John 4:10. And goes on in Hebrews to say the blood of bulls and goats atoned for the flesh of how much more will the blood of Christ atone for us? Hebrews 9:13, 14. Almighty God, who once was angry with us, is no longer angry with us. Because his son Jesus has been the price of propitiation, he has appeased the wrath of God. So anyone who still thinks, oh, God is mad with me, God is cross when I sin, God gets angry with me, God is going to punish me, is a lie of the devil. God is not angry with you. He is not angry with us because his son has paid the price. Whenever God arrives in the Bible, we see people in a state unable to stand. Number three, we were justified. These are all nice words for us to learn. Justified means the formal pronouncement in the eternal heavenly court by the supreme judge that we are innocent and free from all accusations. Now, if we understood and if we were judged for our sins and it was a crime, some of us would be doing life sentences. Some of you might get a few months or a few years, but mostly we would get a life sentence. Thank you, Jesus. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And I've said it before, all my sins, past, present, and future, have been expunged. That's a good word. Means the slate has been completely cleaned. It means if there was a chalkboard and my sins were written up on the chalkboard, everything is gone. You can't go back and have a look and see, and I'm going to show you something now. In the heavenly courts, the supreme judge, God, banged his gavel and said, if you are innocent, there are no further accusations that may be leveled at you. You don't get it. Past, present, and future sins. So here's the hot tip. In a legal case, in a law, court of law, do you know what double jeopardy is? Yeah, well, there is double jeopardy is in play here for us. Romans 4:7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. We are justified because the exact judgment for the sin was meted out to his son Jesus on our behalf. He is just and he is the justifier. Do not believe the lie that God is a God of love. He's not going to send anybody to hell. That would make him a liar because Scripture is very clear about that. I'll just wing it until I get to that place. Because we are justified through Jesus, we can never earn what has already been given freely. I'm going slowly because I want you to get this. This is deep stuff. Number 4, we were reconciled. Means our torn and broken relationship with God has been completely renewed. Not just repaired, but renewed. Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Why? Because we are now presented holy, blameless, without blemish, and free from accusation. Sometimes you don't feel like that. I know. You go, no, I'm such a bad person. No, you're not. I was just thinking again this morning. You know that old expression, I'm a sinner saved by grace? No. You were a sinner. You are now saved by grace. You're now a child of God who lives in the glory of his grace. It's like an oxymoron. I'm a bad guy, but I'm also good. A promise of a deeper relationship and kindness with our Father. Romans 5:10 and 11. And of course, we understand 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. It is the only ministry that has been given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Through the first Adam, our relationship with God was not just fractured, but broken. The transaction of the cross repaired that and reconciled us to the Father. If you go and read through Ephesians chapter 2, you will see it says we were lost and now we are found. It says we are far, but now we are near. It says we were objects of wrath. We are servants and slaves. Now we are sons and daughters. This is good news. Yeah, it's beautiful. It is. We were cut off from any inheritance. We now are heirs of a full inheritance. We are now reconciled, and he's not counting our sins against us. So does that mean that, well, I can just do what I like? No. If you grew up in my family, you would understand perfectly, no. Because in our family, if we did something wrong, there was a punishment that was meted out, and it was a warning that if we did it again, This is like, are we there yet? It just keeps getting better. What do you mean by that? I'm so glad you asked. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. I mean, that is just the epitome of grace. While I'm still behaving foolishly, while I'm still against God, while I'm still against his ways, his church, his people, whatever it is, He reconciled us by the death of his son. And that's the point I make. That doesn't matter if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 2023. It was 2,500 years ago or so that he forgave you of your sins. That should be an aha moment for most of you. Where did I get to? If while we enter, we reconciled by the death of his son, much more. As I say, it keeps getting better. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? And then it says, more than that. Man, this is like going into a candy shop and there's only a few things. And then there's a little alleyway and you go through there. And then there's more candy. And then you go through again. And there's more candy. It's just much more, much more, more than that. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were like this. Here's God, here's me. We are now like this, God and me. As Michael even said this morning, this sounds, what did he say? This sounds like a repeat. Yeah. Of course it is. A broken record. And you know why we need the broken record? Because we're not living victorious and righteous lives half the time. And so keep up with the broken record, Michael. One day you'll go, oh, yeah, you know what I just read in the Bible? And you'll come and tell Michael and he will be gracious to you and say, yeah. I'm glad you got it for yourself. It just keeps getting better and better. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. Much more, we are saved through his action on the cross. Through his death, we've been reconciled to the Father. Much more now, he saved us. And more than that, we can rejoice and live in this victorious and righteous life because of him. Number five, our sickness was dealt with. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And then 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds we have been healed. Matthew 8:16-17, this was to fulfill what was written earlier on. Now we have to understand that not everybody is healed. So we go, well, what's that all about? Well, because scripturally there's physical healing and there's spiritual healing. And when it speaks of spiritual healing, we want physical healing. We only look at that instead of looking at spiritual. You know, God is more interested in you, your salvation, than he is in your health. Oh no, okay, that went down like a bed. It's the truth. You can get healed and not serve Jesus and still go to hell. Me, I'd rather have salvation and live with a little ache and pain. I'll tell you why. Because there is a sense that we have been healed. This is theology. We are being healed, and one day we will be healed. Why? Because God's ultimate healing is called resurrection. And it is a glorious promise to every believer. Every patch-up healing in this present age simply anticipates the ultimate healing that will come. We live in a fallen world and there's nonsense in this world. There's sickness in this world. Number six, our curses were broken and removed. We no longer live under the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that, you know, sometimes we ignore the so that's in scripture. And, therefore, those are important part of the word. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Remember what I said right at the beginning? We still live under the covenant the Abrahamic covenant. It is still alive. It is still active. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. A couple of other things there I've written. Curses coming down the bloodline. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures there for you to go and look at. Or what so many people, and it is badly taught from the pulpit, I'm afraid to say, generational curses. If you belong to Jesus and you are saved and filled with Holy Spirit, you do not suffer generational curses. We need to learn to read scripture properly. It says that if you hate him, to the third and fourth generation. And then people go, oh yeah, okay, that's it. Now down to the third and fourth generation. What we fail to read is for those who love him, he gives life for thousands of generations. Now we have three and four. But those who love him, thousands of generations, eternity. Curses spoken by enemies. If you're a Christian, you cannot have a curse put on you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We just got to know our Bible. Thank you. I knew you'd say something. It's true. Deuteronomy, curse of poverty, Deuteronomy 28. So just in summing up that, we were redeemed, God's wrath against us was appeased, we were justified, we were reconciled, our sickness was dealt with, our curse was broken and removed. Now, number three, and the last point I want to make here, is that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. What does that mean to us? When we think of curses, we try and conjure up some African curse thing or shaman or Caribbean voodoo or whatever. It's none of that stuff. Curses of the law that are spoken over our lives, we have been redeemed from that. Taken off the slave block, sold into the glory of King, taken from the darkness of life, taken into the kingdom of his beloved son. Too often we align poverty with being poor, not having enough money. That's not what scripture talks about. We live in grace, yet we still hear quoted from Deuteronomy 28. This is important for us to hear with regard to our status. You know, Deuteronomy 28 is Mosaic law. It's a Mosaic covenant, and we are not part of that. Therefore, it does not apply to us. Hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying, please. If you want to understand it, go and read Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. That's all the blessings. And then Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 68, 54 of them are the cursings. You know how the two tribes went up on one mountain and on the other, and then they would quote the blessings and the curses. But our cursing through Jesus Christ of poverty, sickness, and the second death have been removed. Jesus hung on the cross in poverty, in sickness, and death, and he overcame it, all of this, for us. Deuteronomy 28, 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Now this was part of the cursing that was going on. Serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and in nakedness. I don't make this stuff up. We have to learn to read our Bible. And lacking everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until this has destroyed you. The yoke of the curse of the law has been broken and removed. New covenant, we're moving into the New Testament. In Matthew 11, 29, what does Jesus say? He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Not this curse. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you living in the law, and you're living, and you're striving, and you're pushing, and you wonder, why am I so tired? Why is everything not working out? How is this not going? It's because we don't live in obedience to him. Matthew 11, 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That yoke around your neck was broken at the transaction of the cross. The law still screams at us. If you do good, you will get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. And we subscribe to that, thinking, what works can I do to do good. So I get good. In the very first part one, Jesus came with his grace and said, don't worry, I'll do your part, I'll do my part, and when we're done, then you will live as if you did it yourself. Man, oh man, oh man. All those who rely on the works of the law, if you're trying to earn favor with God by doing good stuff, stop it. There are works, let's not confuse. God has set down works for you to do. Let's do that stuff. Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 27. He says, Jesus was cursed, so we won't be cursed. He became a curse so that all curses would be broken. I know I'm messing with some of your theology this morning. I'm trying to lead you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son, into victorious and righteous living. No curse can rest on you. He was crucified and hung on a cross in order to fulfill God's word. Jesus hung on the cross in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, lacking everything, meaning in poverty, to break the curse of poverty, of sickness and death over our lives. The law required perfection, and in so doing, it became a curse. Because we all know through Scripture and our own lives, we can't live in perfection all the time. It goes on, everyone, so that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So what does that mean? The covenant of grace that God established with Abraham is still active. And I know we quote this, we quote it from Deuteronomy, but we quote it in a religious way without understanding the freedom and the liberty that it is in, for us in Christ Jesus. You will be blessed and be a blessing. That's what the Lord said to Abraham. We are blessed and we are a blessing. Amen? Said to Abraham, you'll be called the father of all nations. That is why we believe so much in going to all nations to plant churches. It's telling Abraham, from your lineage the Messiah will come. And it did. From our body kings will come. From your body kings will come. And they did. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. You will be the head and not the tail. This is the part. How are you? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Man, it's just rote. Until we understand, whoa, in Christ Jesus, I am the head. He has made me that. I'm not the tail. Christ has made me that. Enemies will come at you in one direction, but will scatter in seven. When we walk in obedience and in victory and in righteousness before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master, and He is our Lord and Savior, and when we walk like that, we don't have to lift up your heads. I'm not saying being proud. We can do that humbly. I will prosper you and make your name great. I will set you above nations. I will give you the land for your inheritance. Who wants an inheritance in the kingdom? I will prosper and bless you. This is why we have been redeemed from the curse. This is good, good news. We're not redeemed so that we can try and then try again and try some more. No. We have been redeemed so that we will be blessed and will prosper and be a blessing. Now, let me just clarify in brackets here. This is not the prosperity gospel or name it and claim it. That is not what I'm talking about. That is false. It's not biblical. This is God's unmerited favor and blessing upon those who call Jesus Master, Lord, and Savior in obedience to Him. And all of this so that we can live in victory and in righteousness and walk in victory and in righteousness. And when the devil comes and puts stuff in your head, no, no, you don't understand. I've been redeemed. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I am being sanctified. I've been reconciled. The devil's like, doo, 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 doo. Oh, too much. Amen? Okay, where's the pastor? Yeah. Pastor baptism. Let's just stand together when Kevin comes. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your word this morning, Father. We ask, Jesus, that you would cement this foundation in our hearts together, Lord. Lord God, that we would come to you and we would stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for the transactions from heaven to us, Lord God, that we have been reconciled, that we have been redeemed, that we your wrath against us has been appeased. Thank you, Lord God, that we are justified. Thank you, Lord God, that you've dealt with our sicknesses. Thank you, Lord, that all curses are broken over our minds, our bodies, our spirits. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.